Good morning and welcome. May the Lord come and rest his grace upon us today, and as he has already been doing. Trust as we open our hearts to him, he can minister grace to us. So can we kneel together for prayer? Our Father in heaven, we again bow our hearts, our heads. We bow ourselves to you, God Almighty. God of heaven and earth, creator of mankind, redeemer of mankind. Lord, we are purposefully gathering again here this morning in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that this assembly, this time that we spend together, you by your Holy Spirit can come and minister to our hearts and help our hearts to be soft and tender and to receive the good word of life within us. Oh God, we ask that you would come. Lord, you know there's various things that brothers weren't able to be here, sickness, and I just ask, Lord, various things that are going on. We ask that you would bless the brothers that are not here. And I pray, oh God, that you would bless the Bible school that's going on. And ask, Lord, that you would come and just help us, oh Lord. We're endeavoring to walk in your will and way, but we need your help and grace. So come and be with us. Ask, Lord, for a clear burden, clear thoughts, and the ability to communicate your word and will here to us today. So, Lord, give me clear thoughts, and I pray for an anointing of your Holy Spirit on all of our hearts here, that our hearts could receive some fresh manna, some fresh dew from heaven again. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I put the title on the board, I would like to maybe draw our minds a bit to, I'm going to say something that the Lord's been continuing to take me in a bit deeper. This, I'm going to say, putting his finger on various areas of my life in all this. If I would ask the question this morning, is there anyone here that's living in sin? I wonder how many of you would raise your hands. Is there any one of you that's living in sin? There might be a couple that would raise their hands and say, well, yes, there is sin in my life that I haven't confessed. There might be. I'm going to say that maybe a larger portion of us would say, well, no, I'm free from sin. I would trust that would be the way, or that's what it is. But when we think of sin, what comes to our mind? When we think of sin, what comes to our mind? Anyone? When we think of sin, what comes to our mind? Something that's against God's law. Others? Pride? Okay. Yes? Something that's different from the nature of Christ. Good. When we think of sin, what comes to our mind? Fellowship broken between God and man. Okay? Let me write the title on the board. The root of sin and wickedness is what we like to talk about this morning. The root of sin and wickedness. Who can tell me what was the first sin on the earth that we're aware of? Eve sinned. Eve sinned against God when she disobeyed. Was there any sin prior to Eve's sin? In heaven there was sin, okay? Prior to Eve's sin, there was sin in heaven. Can anyone tell me when were the angels created? Before or after the creation? Before? Any other thoughts on that? When were the angels created? Before or after the creation? There you go. That's it right there. I want to read that in a little bit. To my knowledge, there's one scripture that would indicate that the angels were present and they were shouting for joy when the earth was being created. So the angels were created prior, sometime prior to the creation of the earth. But to my knowledge, there's not any indication as to when the fall was, before or after that. To my knowledge, there's not any reference as to when the fall of the angels was. I'd like to suggest that when we think of sin, when we think of sin and wrongdoing, many times we think our minds go to specific sins, and rightly so, because there are sins that are, I'm going to say, Scripture tells us very clearly that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so our mind readily goes to various sins when that statement is made or that scripture is read. But I'd like to suggest that there is a core and there's a root of sin that goes way deeper than many of us look at. And I'd like to look at that this morning, at that root. I believe if we have a true understanding of the nature of God and of what sin is, there's going to be an awareness in our heart and a different view that'll help us to live rightly, to live in an upright, God-fearing way. But first, before we look at some of those things, turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 38, and we'll just read that verse which Brother Joel mentioned here. It speaks about what was happening with the angels at the creation when the earth was being created. Job chapter 38 in verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? I declare, if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars rang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. There it is. When the morning stars, this is talking about the creation of the earth. And then it says, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. This would indicate that the earth, the angels were there when the earth was being created, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Interesting verse. Okay, sin in the beginning and the core. Sin in the beginning and at the core. I want to read a number of verses here in Isaiah and Ezekiel that speak about the fall of the angels and the things that were going on. And I'm going to suggest that what we're going to read here is at the very, very core of sin. At the very, very core of sin is these verses that we're going to look at here. And there's a phrase that I want you to notice as we go through here. There's this little phrase that says, I will. Five times in this scripture, there is this term used, I will. I will. And I'm going to suggest that that little term is at the very, very core of sin. I will. I will. I will. So turn with me to Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Starting to read in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the earth, or to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart. Now where was this going on? In his heart. This was happening in his heart. It wasn't even an external thing. But in Lucifer's heart, he was saying, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I will be like the Most High. I'm going to suggest that that little phrase right there is at the very, very core of our being. This whole idea that we rise, or something rises up within us, and we make choices and decisions to lift ourselves up. We make choices and decisions contrary to God's word. We make choices and decisions against the will of God. That core, I will. That core. Sometimes we look at the sins that we have committed, and while they're very, very horrible and wicked, at the core of that, the reason that we've committed these sins is because that core of I will was at the heart of it. I will. I will. I'll just read it again. For thou hast said in thine heart, in his heart, Lucifer, this is happening in Lucifer's heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend upon the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake the kingdoms? Now, turn with me also to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. It again is speaking of the same. Ezekiel 28 and verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now he calls him here the anointed cherub. The anointed cherub. Verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. It's going to bring destruction to this anointed cherub. Verse 17, thine heart, now what was it? Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. He was very beautiful, and because of his beauty, his heart was lifted up. Now these are issues of the heart that are coming out. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, and by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Those are some pretty strong words. But I again would like to draw our attention to this phrase, he lifted himself up. In his heart, he lifted himself up. These things are issues of the heart. And out of the heart, this whole I will is springing out of the heart. The core of sin is lifting up myself. As parents, we look at our children, and when our children disobey, there's a part of what's happening is there's a lifting up of their own will and their own way and the I will. Am I right? There's a lifting up of myself. There's a lifting up of my own will, my own desires, against what is right, against authority, against Scripture, against God's will. There's a lifting up at the core of it. And when our children disobey us, it's not primarily disobedience, but at the core, there's a heart that is lifting itself up of selfishness, of self-will, of myself. I'm going to say that when God looks down, when God in heaven, he looks down upon all mankind, and they see all, he sees all the wickedness, all the corruption. We look at the world today, and so much has changed. And it's getting more and more wicked. 25 years ago, I remember in the local town here of Berlin, there was a big issue going on of there's a boy that had come to classes in the elementary school with his ear pierced, and he was wearing an earring to school, and that was against code in the local schools. And that was a bigger deal made, and finally toleration was made of that. But today, those things are everywhere. And that's a small thing. And what's against Scripture? And yet, I'm going to say there has been a very strong decline in the whole moral code in America. 30 years ago, when it came to same-sex marriages, gays, all those things were out there. They were in the big cities, in New York City and out in San Francisco and and all those places. I remember being out in San Francisco and you know, men walking around holding each other in the arm and different things, and dressing like a lady and all that. And we looked at that, and that was in the big cities. Today, those things are just normal all around us. There's a steady decline in the whole moral fabric of the country today. And here we are, and God has called us to live in obedience. And while those things, you know, the Bible says, let those things not once be named among us. At the core of all that sin is I will. And at the core of all the things that you and I face is an I will. I have rights. I want to do what I want to do. It's my own desires. I'm just going to say the Lord has been continuing to put his finger on areas in my life in these things. He's been continuing to work on me. And I want him to. Because I feel like unless we can reckon with our hearts and what's really going on inside of my own heart, we won't get to where God really wants us to be. We won't get there. Repentance. Repentance is laying down of my own way. And this isn't necessarily a salvation sermon this morning. But I also look at these, at some of these very foundational things, and it is. This is all about salvation, and it's also about getting right and being right with God. That's what it's all about. Repentance, you know, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it says, repent and be baptized. That repentance, at the core of repentance, is yielding of my own way. That I will. It's laying down that I will. At the core of repentance, repentance before God and turning away from our own way, at the core of all that is a yielding of myself. Repentance is laying down my own way. I remember so well back, I believe I was 15 years of age when I got converted. But I very well remember laying on my bed prior to that. There's days went by, weeks went by when I knew that I was not right with God. And the day came that I just had a deep yearning in my heart to get right with God and to have peace in my heart. And I remember that evening, I had made a decision that day that with God's help, somehow I have to get right with God. And I had enough of a relationship with my parents that that evening, when all my siblings, I was the oldest in the family, when all of my siblings, when they went to bed, I still sat there on the couch. And when the others had all gone to bed, I remember it was either mom or dad, they asking, well, did you want to talk? Is there something on your mind? And I told them that I want to get right with God. But I remember that evening, with my parents, I knelt down there on the floor. And it's in the house where Brother Joel's live right now, in that house in the living room. I remember in that living room floor, I remember prior to that coming up, there was a yielding going on in my heart. And there was something that said, I made decisions that I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get right with God. And that's not the I will, right? It was that yielding. I remember that night. There's things that I had committed and sins that I had done that I never ever told anyone. And I knew that the only way for me to really get right with God is for me to just yield. And that night, I yielded in a way that I had never done before. And I confessed all my sins openly. And I told God, I said, God, I am willing to go your way. I'm willing to follow you all the days of my life. But there's a yielding of that I will. I'm going to say there's probably about 2 years prior to that that I knew that I wasn't right with God. I knew I wasn't right with God. But my I will kept me from repenting. The I will kept me from surrendering. The embarrassment of having to be open and honest with myself and my own way and the sins that I had committed, the I will kept me from doing that. But that night, I yielded my life all the way. That's at the core of repenting. That night, I chose to believe Jesus Christ, and he washed my sins away that night. A very beautiful thing. I could just remember my mom's brother. I remember the next morning, I keenly remember there's a water trough out at the far side of the chicken house that my mom's brother, he had an excavator there, and he was digging it out, running the pipeline, and I was out there helping him. And I remember I wanted to tell him. There's something in me that just wanted to tell him what happened because I was so happy. And yet I didn't. But I remember the emotion of just desiring to tell him, but I never got it accomplished. I was too shy somehow. But the I will, that day was totally put down. But you know how it is? As life goes on, that I will wants to stand up again. That I will wants to rise up again. And it's out of that I will that many other things come. Repentance is laying down my own will. I have another heading here that says struggles. Struggles between parents and children. Struggles between husband and wife. Struggles between brothers and sisters in the church. Struggles between us on the workplace. All of those things, I'm going to say, are rooted in the I will. Are you with me on that? All those things are somehow rooted in the I will. Those struggles that we face, at the core of it, there's an I will at the core of it. Satan said, I will, I will. 5 times he said, I will. Struggles at the workplace, struggles at home, struggles between siblings. Requirements that I have on other people. Requirements and expectations. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3 says this. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions, strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. There's a lot of stuff that comes up. And even as people that are born of the Spirit of God, there are things that come up that again and again, there's a need to surrender our will. That I will, to surrender that to Almighty God. Paul said these words in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 19. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state. Now listen, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own. I suggest that he was talking about the brothers in church. He wasn't talking about the world out there, but he was talking about the brotherhood when he said this, when he made this statement. He said, for all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that for even for us as believers, there's so much I will within us that in our daily life, there's so many decisions that we make and choices that we make that are rooted for our own self-good and our own self-will. And they might not be big sins, but there's a root at the very core of our beings that desires and wants to go and do our own will. At the very root of it all, Satan said, I will, I will, I will. And God's way is for us to yield. Many times there's also things we face. There's a spirit that wants to rule and to dominate. Us men, we want to rule over other people. We want to dominate conversations. We want to have authority. And brothers, I'm not exempt in these things. And I want to open my heart to you all. I want to just open my heart. If you see these things in my life, I want you to come and talk to me. Because many times we don't see ourselves. And I have a desire to be open. I have a desire to be transparent. And I have a desire to be at a place where God is working in my heart in a free and open way. I really do. But like to suggest, there's something within us, and it's not just us men, it's the sisters too. There's this lifting up of ourselves over other people. In so many different ways. Over each other in the brotherhood, dads to the children and wife in a way that's wrong, while there's a place of authority. There's many times that those things are done in a wrong way. There's a right way to do all those things, and the right way, even in the brotherhood. I don't want to diminish places of authority and places where we need to function. I don't want to diminish that. But I like to say that there's a spirit and there's an attitude that those things are done that are either right or they're wrong. And at the core, either there's a yielded heart or there's an I will that raises ourselves up. But there's a spirit that wants to rule and dominate other people. Sometimes it's our siblings. I know you youth, sometimes we want to dominate over our siblings. We want to do things. We need the last word. We need to tell the others what to do. And while all those things have their right place, I'm going to suggest that there's a right and there's a wrong. And we have to be at a place where our heart is surrendered to God Almighty and we function in the realm that God has put us. And we do so out of a heart of surrender. Is that all right, Brother Paul? Satan said, I will, I will, I will. Satan lifted himself up, 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 up. And Jesus, when Jesus was here on the earth, he brought himself lower, he brought himself lower, and he brought himself lower. And yet he was king over all. Okay, do you see the two? Satan lifted himself up, up, up. Jesus was the king over all. He was the authority. And yet Jesus lifted, or he, time after time, he lowered himself and he humbled himself. He humbled himself further. Totally different spirit there. And yet Jesus was the authority. And then sometimes when we're proud, when we're arrogant, and we're going our own way, God comes and he puts us down. Have you ever had that? Right? When we're proud and we're arrogant in our place, we're not at the place where we ought to be. God comes and he puts us down. We can either choose for us to humble ourselves, or ultimately God is going to come and he will humble us. He will put us in our place. And if not in this life, in the life to come. But as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus, as a follower of Scripture and follower of God Almighty, ultimately we will find ourselves in the place where we ought to be one day. But we have choices to make whether we're going to humble ourselves, whether we're going to humble ourselves under God's hand. But many of us are lifting up ourselves and lifting up and lifting up. I would never commit any of those horrible sins. I would never do that. And yet we lift ourselves up. I'm going to say that is the core, that's the root of sin and wickedness. And that's an abomination. And it was for that reason that Lucifer and the angels were cast out of heaven. Because they lifted themselves up. They didn't commit. The scripture has no inclination that those angels committed any moral sins. But it was that lifting up of oneself. They lifted themselves up. That is why they were cast out of heaven. Jesus went down, 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 down. Man lifts himself up, up, up. Lucifer lifted himself up. And there's some men and some women who choose to humble themselves. There's some that choose that. Many seek to be on the top. This can be done many ways. It can be done by lifting ourselves up over others. It can be done by the way we dress, by the cars we drive, the houses we own. The way we look, it can be done back here in this prayer room by having a nice prayer that is like the publican, and where we pray to ourselves rather than praying to God. It can be done through preaching. We can lift ourselves up. It can be done by leading songs. It can be done by our ability to sing. It can be done in so many, many ways. It expresses itself. But what is the core? There's some, even maybe this morning here, that are slowly but surely they're trying to lift themselves up. And there's others that are like Jesus that are choosing to humble themselves and humble themselves further. You know, when we look at our children, we don't judge our children. We don't judge our children by if they stole a car or if they robbed a bank or if they ran over the speed limit. We judge them by their ability to surrender their will to mom and dad. We look at our children that way. Sometimes before us and God, we look at the sins rather than these other issues of the heart. I'm going to say the more we raise up ourselves in our hearts and in our doings and the things we do, the more we rise and we lift ourselves up, the further the potential to fall. Further the potential to fall. If you have a 10-story house and you jump up out the window, you only have one story to jump down. If you fall out of a 1-story window, there's only one story. But if you're in a 10-story building, there's 10 floors to fall. The fall is much greater. Here's a description of how Lucifer looked. In Ezekiel 28 and 12 and 13, it says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Cyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." He was perfect in beauty. Now, if you look at me this morning, I'm not very beautiful to behold. I have my hair are a bit gray and bald, and I don't know, there's just lots of stuff going on that I'm not beautiful anymore. Like I never was beautiful, but you know how those things are. There was a day in my younger age that I thought I was pretty nice. I never was as nice as I thought I was, but you know how that goes. But listen to how this describes Lucifer. "Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, thou hast been in the Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering." Now listen to this. "Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes." There's actually musical instruments that were a part of his being. It had all these precious stones, and then it says, "The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou was created." Here was this cherub. Here was this beautiful angel. And he had all this beauty. And the beauty that he had, he lifted, his heart was lifted up in pride. And he said, "I will, I will, I will, I will." And look, who can tell me where his end will be? The end of the age. Anyone tell me? In hell. Lake of fire. This is who he was. But he lifted himself up. And as a result of that, God will. He has already brought judgment, and he will bring judgment to him because of the decisions that he made. I like to just open my own heart in these things. Totally to you all. God's continued to work, and I want him to continue to work. And I know that as brothers and sisters, we don't see ourselves. You all look at me. We all look at each other, and there's things that we see, and you know, we're blind to ourselves. But I like to be open. I want to be at a place where my heart is totally yielded. I want to be at a place where my heart is surrendered. I want to be at a place that God can work in my heart freely. It's my desire. But I think we need to come to the root and deal with the root in our own hearts. Because it's at that place that God can truly work. Lord bless you all.